Thinking about the tense relationship between the park warden and the angel who's lived on this land for several hundred years, long before it was made into a nature reserve. The warden is certain the angel feeds animals. The angel desperately denies it every time. "You can't feed the animals, Mr. Percy," he says. "You'll make them reliant on humans." "I'm not a human," points out Percy, and then adds hurriedly, "and I don't feed them." And granted, whenever Griff drives out past the angel's land, his vegetables are all in perfect order. His trees and bushes are often bearing fruit, but there is no animals on his land. Maybe a deer will lean in to eat from the outside of his hedges, but that's all. And yet, every time Griff stops, animals are nonetheless hurrying away from the house as if they've been told to hide, depending on the time of day. Deer, foxes, badgers, polecats, even boar, not to mention smaller creatures like rabbits and squirrels or birds. "Mr. Percy," growls Griff, and the angel appears in the window, cheeks flushed. "I've not done anything," he says. "All I do is keep to myself. You know that." "I just saw a squirrel run down your guttering." "Tremendously gymnastic, aren't they?" "Mr. Percy," says Griff. "I never ignore your instructions, Mr. Gordon. On my honor." The angel disappears. Mr. Percy is an odd-looking thing. Tall and handsome in a delicate way. He has small wings sprouting from his thick, red hair that show either side of his face. Their silver feathers match to the pale gray of his eyes. More silver shines on his cheeks, under his eyes, and Griff has seen the pale flakes that show down his neck and up his arms, too. He bleeds silver, people say, though he's never seen him bleed. The park is a magical one. The borders fortified, and in amongst the flourishing mundane wildlife roam animals that have crossed in from the borders into one fey land or other. Magic is thick in the air, and at the full moons it tingles on Griff's skin. Mr. Percy doesn't often leave his house. It serves him well that the house is now inside magical borders and that no Mundies might walk by and gawk in his direction. Hikers will stop and ask about him on their way to campgrounds from time to time, but his isn't the only house. Most of the people still in houses here are people whose properties have been handed down, but they all have a sort of quiet desire for solitude in common, Percy especially. Percy never leaves the park that Griff has seen, or at least not via the gates. He grows his own food and feeds himself, and while Griff has been told he forages from time to time, picks mushrooms or wild herbs within the park's boundaries or in the Feylands nearby, he's never seen him walking. And people visit now and then, other angels, some of whom leave trails of flowers where they walk, or the big man with a subtle smile who always greets Griff by name, although they've never been introduced. He's been at the park 6 years now, and it's the first time he sees Mr. Percy on the path, a great elk with glow moss hanging in corded curtains from his antlers, and Mr. Percy is speaking softly to it, stroking its muzzle. "Mr. Percy," says Griff lowly. The elk looks to him as he dismounts his bike, startles, and rushes off up the hillside. Percy looks at Griff shamefacedly. "I didn't feed him," he says quickly. "He's obviously comfortable with you," Griff growls. "They all are," says Percy. His wings twitch and flutter. "Mr. Percy, I will issue you with a fine if I catch you at it," says Griff. "Issue all you like, Mr. Gordon. I don't have any money." His wings shift where they sprout from behind his ears, and where Griff watches them, he sees their feathers flutter. "They like me," says Percy. "That's all." "They're wild animals," says Griff. "They like what feeds them."
"You're
very unromantic man for being a park warden, Mr. Gordon, says Mr. Percy softly. One would think all this beauty would soften you. Griff scowls at him. I'm not a hard man, Mr. Percy, but when you feed the animals, they get too close. They'll hurt people, and it's not the people that feed them that get put down. You saw the elk flee when you drew near, says Percy, and I'm not human. Mr. Percy, you don't bother the Fae when they come into these English lands, says Percy glumly, his lips downturned in a little frown. You think of them as of this land, wiser than you. Why is it that you do not afford me the same trust? I don't avoid the Fae tourists because I think they're wise, Mr. Percy. I avoid them because I value my head, and I know a Fae man is liable to take it off me if I step against him. Mr. Percy clucks his tongue and shakes his head. Unromantic and prejudiced, too, Mr. Gordon, he says disapprovingly. Do you not value the wonder in the world before you? Griff has no idea what to make of that. Don't feed the animals, he says, and he gets back on his bike. Mr. Percy quietly shakes his head and walks off the trail, disappearing into the trees as though he's part of their leaves. Griff doesn't even know he slipped on the trail until after it's happened, but he wakes with an aching head, dizzy and confused, lying underneath handmade quilts on soft sheets, and Mr. Percy is sitting beside him, reading a book. Ah, Mr. Gordon, says Percy, and reaches out, carefully peeling the wet cloth away from his forehead. He looks nervous as he asks. Feeling a little confused? Griff grunts, looking blearily around. Mr. Percy's house is built of mixed bricks and cobbles, but the inside is carefully finished, with white plaster and wood, old-fashioned, with the beams showing. It's a cool spring morning, and the fire crackles to the side of the room, something cooking in the huge fireplace. It hurts a little when he shifts in bed, and he feels under the blanket for a woven piece of fabric that's very cool to the touch, some sort of enchanted compression the angel has laid on his chest. When he breathes too deep, it aches. Your eyes are focusing all right, at least, says Percy. But I'm no physician. I need you to show me how to work your radio contraption, Mr. Gordon. I can't carry you, and I don't want to leave you alone. Pass it me, Griff mumbles, and Percy places the walkie in his hand. Cole Jones says he'll send someone out with a car to pick him up, and asks if he needs to go to the hospital. You should see a doctor, advises Percy. It sounded like something cracked when you fell. Could be a rib. They'll drive him straight to the hospital from here. Thank you, says Griff. You saw me fall? It looked painful, says Percy softly. My bones are lighter than yours. They break easier, but I heal easier too. One sees stardust in the bruises on your chest, Mr. Gordon. Well, you're the one who wants me to see more beauty, says Griff and coughs. It's only because his mouth is dry, but it makes his chest burst out in blistering agony, and Percy brings tea to his mouth. There are animals in the room, he is aware of distantly. On the ground, a doe has its hooves folded under itself, its eyes closed as it dozes underneath the sun shining in, and two foxes are curled in a wicker basket beside the fire. Birds line the windowsills, peering in. You're hallucinating, says Mr. Percy, half-heartedly. Mr. Percy. They want to be close to me, Mr. Gordon. They're safe here, and I have known every animal in this forest since it was born. They like me, I like them. What, you're Snow White? I don't know who that is. From the fairy tale? Mr. Percy's blank look turns blanker. Griff shifts the radio in his hand and then puts it aside, leaning back into the pillows. You didn't know how to use it?
Why would I?
How old are you? Rude, Mr. Gordon. Mr. Percy is looking very sternly at him, his wings pulled back like an angry cat's ears.
Sorry, says Griff. Thanks again for bringing me here. You carried me?
I employed other assistants, says Percy.
Please don't tell me forest animals helped carry me here.
All right, I won't, says Mr. Percy, and Griff helplessly laughs, although it makes his bruised ribs hurt. I don't know your forename, Mr. Gordon. What is it?
Griffin, he says slowly. What about yours?
Mine.
Everyone calls you Mr. Percy. I don't know your first name.
Oh, says Percy. No, that's an affectation you people took on a long time ago, and I felt no need to disabuse you of it. My name is Perseverance Before God, Mr. Gordon.
Griff stares up at him, still dizzy.
That an angel name?
A Puritan one. Out of fashion these days.
That why you don't have any electricity?
I didn't need electricity before. What do I need it for now?
Heat?
I have firewood.
Convenience, then. Connection to others.
I'm connected, Percy says softly. I send letters. Siblings visit me. Animals.
Animals, Griff repeats, and as he watches, a third fox comes into the room, sniffing at the basket the other foxes are in,
before hopping up into Percy's lap instead, settling there. It doesn't ask for pets or anything, just sleeps.
You've tamed everything in the forest,
mutters Griff. They're not any more tame than I am, Percy says quietly. I live in a house and farm vegetables. It doesn't make me human, Mr. Gordon. I'm of this wood, just as they are.
I'm not, says Griff, trying to keep himself conscious, which is somewhere between impossible.
His head feels extremely heavy, his eyes especially, and ridiculously easy. The pain in his chest is keeping him awake, and looking critically at Percy's face.
Why help me?
Percy stares at him, apparently fascinated. But of course you are, Mr. Gordon. The magpies know your face, you know, when they see you on their rounds, and every animal here knows the rumble of your bike's engine. You're no tourist or wandering thing. You are of this wood.
But I don't do anything.
You clear away rubbish, help capture injured animals that they might be brought for veterinary care. Most crucially, you tell the tourists to quiet down when they make too much noise at the campgrounds. You think this goes unnoticed? Griff looks at the fox asleep in Percy's lap, at the deer, at the birds, the other foxes. There's a pheasant sleeping beside the deer, he realizes. He hears the snort of a boar close by and wonders if it's inside or outside the house.
Yeah,
he says. Nonsense, says Percy. They recognize patterns as well as faces. They're more intelligent than you apparently think. He hears the car outside and the animals scatter, disappearing from the windows, rushing out of the door. The fox in Percy's lap glances up, lazily opening one eye, and then closes it again, pressing back against Percy's belly. They don't quite understand what I'm to be scolded for, explains Percy. But they know not to be caught, if possible. He deposits the fox in the basket as he goes down to let the other wardens in with a stretcher. He doesn't know that he needs it, but he's grateful not to have to try. The others don't even notice the fox beside the fire. It's a few weeks later that he's back in the park. He'd only sustained mild fractures to two ribs and nothing more dramatic. The bruising is the worst part, and it's taking ages to clear up. He finds Mr. Percy in a clearing, asleep against the side of an elk. The elk looks at him warily, and Griff stands well back, putting up his hands and staying very still. The elk is gentle about nudging Percy awake,
and it waits for Percy to sit up, looking sleepily around before it stands and walks calmly away.
"Out of the infirmary, I see, Mr. Gordon," says Percy, giving him a slow and somnolent look as he stands to his feet. "Are you well?"
"Just sore,"
says Griff, and Percy nods. He walks up to Griff and looks at him expectantly. When Griff, uncertain, looks back at him, Percy says, slightly impatiently, "Your arm, Mr. Gordon." Griff puts his hand out, and Percy actually rolls his eyes, turning his wrist back into his body so his elbow is out. Percy's hand, smeared and shining under the skin with streaks of silver, is light where it curls just under the inside of his elbow, and when they start to walk, Percy stays close to him, molded against his side. It's very strange. Griff doesn't dislike it, he doesn't think. There's something very nice about it, about the way Percy's meandering steps keep pace with Griff's own. "I have a confession to make," says Percy.
"Isn't that best kept for church?"
Percy laughs softly, sweetly. "I don't go to church very often," he admits, "but that's not my confession."
"No."
"I do feed some of the animals." Griff waits for the catch.
"Okay,"
he says slowly. "We trade from time to time, the birds and I."
"God, you're weird."
Percy is quiet for a moment, and Griff glances at him where he lingers on Griff's arm. "Do you think so?" he asks. He sounds, to Griff's surprise, quite hurt.
"No," says Griff. "Perseverance. I just mean, you surprise me, that's all."
"You're not working?"
"How can you tell?"
"No radio."
"Huh, no. I just wanted a walk. Fresh air."
"Will you join me for lunch?"
"Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yes. Please."
Percy is smiling faintly, looking down the trail ahead of them. Griff smiles, then realizes, only now, that there is a field mouse in his breast pocket. He tries to stop smiling and doesn't manage it. Percy's own smile widens. You've been listening to Glitch, narrating a TweetVic by Johannes T. Evans. You can find their work on Twitter, and you can subscribe to them on Patreon at Johannes Evans. You can also leave a tip via Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/Johannes Evans. Thanks for listening.